Good, so once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Once again, welcome back, everybody. The third Sunday of Advent is known colloquially as Gaudete Sunday. Gaudete is Latin, and it means rejoice, and it's taken from our second reading, St. Paul's letter to the Philippians, in which he tells the Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. Let me say it again. Rejoice. Now, what's so amazing about that message from St. Paul is that he wrote those words when he was in jail. Anybody's got a right to say rejoice in the Lord no matter what your circumstances, it's St. Paul, all right? If he can rejoice in prison, he can rejoice anywhere. But note this well. He doesn't just say rejoice as a broad generality. What does he say? He says rejoice in the Lord. Now that's your message for the day. Our joy doesn't come from our circumstances. Where does our joy come from? It comes from God, a source of joy and hope we cannot lose. Now, if this was not the third Sunday of Advent, this would be the Feast of Our Lady of Guadalupe, which always falls on the 12th of December. Our Lady of Guadalupe gives me more joy and more hope than any other feast day of the year, and I want to try to share that with you here today, okay? So let me try to share with you the story of Our Lady of Guadalupe for Gaudete Sunday, all right? So you got to come back with me now in your imaginations. We're going to a very different time and a very different place. The year is 1519. The place, the Gulf Coast of Mexico. These are the days of the Spanish conquistadors, and Hernan Cortez has just set foot in a place that is now known as Veracruz. The land is under the dominance of the Aztec Empire. Now, the Aztecs outnumber Cortez and his Spaniards 1,000 to 1, but within the span of just 2 years, Cortez has conquered the Aztec Empire and taken their capital city of Tenochtitlan, which is today known as Mexico City. Within just 2 years, and he's outnumbered 1,000 to 1. How did he do it? How did he do it? You want to know how he did it? He did it with the assistance of local indigenous tribes who hated the Aztecs. They volunteered to help the Spaniards by the hundreds of thousands. Why'd they hate the Aztecs so much? Well, there's lots of reasons, but one big reason was the Aztecs had a bloodthirsty and cruel religion of cannibalism and human sacrifice. Now, no joke, somewhere between 20 and 80,000 people a year. I know it sounds like something out of a movie script, but they literally ripped their beating hearts out of their chests, held their hearts up aloft because they believed that's what set their spirit free when they offered their spirit to the God of the heavens and the God of the sun and the God of the moon. People hated them for it. Cortez came to the capital city of Tenochtitlan, and he saw the discarded corpses, and he saw the blood cascading down from the step pyramids, and he was horrified. Climbed up on the top of one of those pyramids, and he held aloft a crucifix, and he said, there's already been one sacrifice for all sin. There's no more need for human sacrifice. Nobody listened to him. Nobody listened. So he wrote to the Spanish crown. He said, you wouldn't believe the bloodthirsty religion of these people. You got to send missionaries to preach the gospel. So they sent Franciscans from Spain. Poor guys. You know, they preached for 10 solid years. They preached till their fingertips turned blue, and it made almost no difference at all. You want to know what made all the difference in the world and converted the hearts of the people? No exaggeration, it was Our Lady of Guadalupe. The story goes like this. In 1531, a humble little Aztec man who had taken the Spanish name of Juan Diego, he's now a saint, Saint Juan Diego, was walking along in the outskirts of the capital city of Tenochtitlan near a craggy hill called Tepeyac Hill when suddenly He heard the most beautiful singing that he'd ever heard in his entire life, coming from the top of Tepeyac Hill. So he ran up the hill to see the source of this beautiful music. And there at the top of the hill, he beheld a heavenly vision. It was the most beautiful woman he'd ever seen in his entire life. And he asked her, "Who are you?" And she answered, "I am the Mother of God." And he asked, "What do you want from me?" And she said, "I want you to go to the bishop and tell him he must build a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill." So Juan Diego dutifully ran down the hill and ran into the bishop and burst into his private quarters. And he said, Bishop, boy, I've got news for you. I just saw a vision of a woman from heaven, and she said, you're supposed to build a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill." And he goes, "Oh, thank you very much. I appreciate this. We'll have to talk about this at another time," right? And he ushered him out of the room. And Juan Diego, he walked away shamefaced and dejected. Till a couple of days later, he saw the woman again. And he said, "I tried to tell the bishop your message, but nobody listens to me. I'm just a little nobody. I'm a person of no importance." And the Blessed Mother said to him, "My dearest little one, are you not enfolded in the mantle of my care? Am I not here who am your mother? Go now to the top of Tepeyac Hill, and there you will find a sign. Bring it to the bishop, and he will believe you." So he ran up to the top of Tepeyac Hill, and to his amazement, he found long-stemmed Castilian red roses in full bloom, and this in the middle of December on the top of a craggy hill that could barely support the life of a cactus, right? And he goes, "Oh, I understand now, because in the Aztec culture, when one noble sent a message to another noble, they would always send a messenger with a bouquet of flowers." So he goes, "Oh, I understand now," and he gathers up all the flowers and he runs back to the bishop and he says, Bishop, the woman from heaven, she said you're supposed to build a church on the top of Tepeyac Hill, and this is the sign so that you'll believe." And he opened up his cloak, and out came a cascade of long-stemmed red roses, and everyone in the room gasped. The bishop fell to his knees, but it wasn't because of the flowers. It was because miraculously imprinted on the cloak of Juan Diego was the image of the woman from heaven. And the bishop looked at him and he said, "What did she say her name was?" And he answered, "She said her name is Tlecuatlisupe." And the bishop says, "Ah, Guadalupe." Because Guadalupe was the name of a Marian shrine in Spain that the bishop knew well. It was in the region of Extremadura. "Guadalupe," the bishop said. But that's not what Juan Diego told him. Juan Diego spoke in his own native Nahuatl language. Her name is Tlecuatlisupe, a word which means "she who will crush the head of the serpent." In the gospel next week, you're going to hear the story of the visit of the Blessed Mother to her cousin Elizabeth. And when the Blessed Mother comes to her cousin Elizabeth, filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth cries out, "Blessed are you among women." That's what Elizabeth says to Mary. Those words are addressed three times in the Bible to three different ladies. Three times. One was to a lady named Judith, one was to a lady named Jael, one was to the Blessed Virgin Mary. You know what those three ladies all have in common? They're all warriors who crushed the head of their enemy in battle. Judith killed the commanding general of the Assyrians. Jael drove a stake through the leader of the army of the Canaanites. And the Blessed Virgin Mary, spiritually now, fulfilling the prophecy of Genesis chapter 3, crushes the head of the serpent. What? She did that when Christ our Lord was born. But here's what gives me such great hope. She didn't just do that once. She is God's chosen instrument, and she does that again and again and again. She's the one who crushes the head of the serpent. She's God's chosen instrument to destroy the power of evil. Because in the Mesoamerican religion, there was a whole pantheon of gods, in pre-Columbian Mesoamerican religion. But among them, three were very prominent. They were the god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of the stars. Their names were Quetzalcoatl, Huitzilopochtli, and Metztli, god of the sun, god of the moon, god of the stars. When the Aztec people saw this image, They converted by the thousands and the tens of thousands. This image spoke to them because here's a woman clothed with the heavens, eclipsing the sun, standing on the moon, but she's not the divinity. No. Right over her abdomen is the four-petaled Aztec image for divinity. Four petals. It symbolized the four cardinal points of the compass, north, south, east, west, symbolized the four seasons. The symbol for divinity. And right around her waist are the black bands that an Aztec woman would wear when she was expecting a child. She was not the divinity. Her head is bowed in prayer, her hands folded in adoration at the God who is to be born from her. You might see this image of our Blessed Mother of Guadalupe used in pro-life rallies. You want to know why? It's the only image of the Blessed Mother that shows Jesus as an unborn child. When they saw this image, they converted by the thousands. And one of the reasons was she was one of them. She's the dark virgin of Guadalupe. She was an Aztec, which serves to underscore what the missionaries have been saying all their lives to these Aztec people, that the one to be born from her would be God with us. You know, in 1517, Martin Luther rebelled against the Catholic Church, and they say that 9 million people left the faith in Europe. Within 10 years of the apparition of our Blessed Mother of Guadalupe, more than 9 million people were baptized into the faith. They say that at the end of the day, the priests couldn't raise their hands. They'd done so many baptisms that day. Now, there's two reasons why I love Our Lady of Guadalupe. Two reasons. Here's the first. When we cannot come to our own assistance, when we cannot save ourselves, that's when God comes to save us. You know, it's like the story of the Israelite people that were fleeing from Egypt, and the armies of Egypt were coming for them with Pharaoh's chariots and charioteers, and their back was to the Red Sea. And what did God do? He opened up the Red Sea like a wall to their right and to their left. He delivered them when they had no hope, when they could not save themselves. We are not going to be able to get ourselves out of the mess that we've gotten ourselves into in this culture, are we? We are not going to be able to save ourselves. That's why I believe God Himself will come to our rescue. I don't know how, I don't know when, but He has this way of acting. He does that when we can't do it ourselves. And the way He's going to do it, He's going to somehow do it through the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is His chosen instrument. Somehow, she's going to be the one to crush the head of the ancient serpent. Somehow she's going to be the one that comes to the assistance of God's people. Second reason I love Our Lady of Guadalupe is it's a reminder that God is with us. She's been given to you as a helper, as a friend in a high place. Treasure her spiritually. Make her a part of your everyday. Ask for her prayers, ask for her intercession. Do you know what Juan Diego said to the Blessed Virgin Mary when she told him to go to the bishop and send his message? He said, "Please don't make me go. I'm not the man for this job." And she replied, "God has chosen you. Go now and do your part." Do you ever feel that the circumstances in your life or in the world around us are so big and so great that they're completely outside of your control, and that it's too much for you to endure? Then please take this message to heart. God has chosen you. None of this is an accident. You are where you belong. You have only to go now and do your part. That fills me with hope. That fills me with joy. And on this Gaudete Sunday, I hope it fills you with hope and joy too, as we ask for the prayers of our Mother to help us. Our Lady of Guadalupe, pray for us.